If you know me for very long, you know that I like to clown around with people. I like to play jokes, and I'm always on the lookout for opportunities. So you can imagine my joy and excitement when I saw Andy Johnson's truck at the grocery store on a Saturday afternoon. And so I knew exactly what to do when I saw his truck. I crept over to the back of his truck, and I hid behind the tailgate, and I waited for him to come out of the Albertsons. And as I kind of was ducking down behind his truck and, you know, grinning to myself of what I might do, I glanced over, and there was a woman sitting in a car next to us. And her eyes were real big, and she was staring at me with a serious and concerned look on her face. What was I up to? What was I planning to do? And I smiled at her and I waved and I said, "It's okay. I know him. It's okay. I know him." And then when Andy and Knox came out of the grocery store, I stood up and awkwardly greeted them and we laughed together. You know, you can't do that with just anybody, right? You could get beaten up, you get sprayed with mace, you get arrested or worse. But with someone you know, you have more freedom. You have some courage. You have access. The same is true in our relationships and our friendships. The more you know someone, the more freedom you have to be a little more blunt with them, to be honest with them, than just a person that you meet on the street or somebody you just met. Knowing someone is really important. It gives you the courage to say the things that you need to say. And it's really important when you need help or you're in trouble. And maybe you've had to do this before. Get on the phone and call someone, and all you say, they can tell by the tone of your voice, "Hey, I need your help." And they know immediately that they're going to help you, or they could maybe drive straight to your house and they can help you figure out a very complicated problem. What I want to suggest to you from Psalm 30 is this: that knowing God personally, intimately through Jesus Christ, truly knowing Him, gives us the courage to cry out to Him and to call out to Him. Gives us the courage to come to Him when we are experiencing the greatest joys and wins in our lives. It also, as Psalm 130 shows us, it gives us the courage to come to Him when we're afraid, when we're hurting, when we're scared, when we're confused, and when we're in despair. Knowing God gives us the courage to come to Him, to wait for Him, and to speak of Him. And it really is okay because we know Him. First of all, let's look at Psalm 130 in this. The first point: knowing God gives us the courage to cry out to Him. That's really one of the first and most important things we see from Psalm 130. And it really is okay to cry out to God. It's okay. It's good. It's important for us to cry out to God. And we don't have good categories for this because it doesn't fit into our controlled, calculated, predictable lives. But crying out to God is one of the most basic parts of being a human being. There are certain times where it's okay for us to cry out, maybe in extreme pain, maybe in exuberant celebration. But one of the first things we see from Psalm 130 is that it's okay to cry out to God. Psalm 130, it's a song of ascents. And this is one of the songs that was used by God's people as they made their way from where they lived up to Jerusalem to celebrate different feasts throughout the year. It was a song that they sang that they knew that was intended to teach them about what is important, what's normal, what's part of following and loving God. This was part of the collective consciousness of God's people in the Old Testament. It was a song they knew. Maybe like Christmas songs for us. We know them. We just sing them at certain times of the year. And it helped them. It taught them it's okay to cry out to God. That's one of the first things we need to see from Psalm 130. Knowing God gives us the courage to cry out to Him, and it's okay to cry out to God. Let's walk through the psalm and think about some questions. Cry out to God, why? Well, it's simple. We cry out to God because we need help. We cry out to God because we need help. Psalm 130 says, out of the depths I cry to you. Other translations say, from the depths of woe. We don't really know what those depths are. We don't have the exact details. We get a glimpse of it later in the psalm, but we don't know exactly what's going on. But from the depths is a place where self-help no longer works. Whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, it's the place where we know that we can't just fix it. Need help, rock bottom, out of options, end of our ropes, no way out, powerless. Why should we cry out to God? Because we need help. And the reality is, we can cry out to God a lot sooner. We have full access to Him through Jesus Christ, but a lot of times pride gets in the way, doesn't it? We can be arrogant, or we can be stubborn, and we can think that the rules don't really apply to us, or we just keep banging our head against the wall because it'll be a little bit different next time. That's what we tell us. All we need to do is change up the circumstances a little bit, and then we can manage and control our lives just fine. And whatever it is keeps kicking our tails. We cry out to God because we need help. And this is the pattern for coming into the kingdom of God, and it's a pattern for Christian growth. Think about it this way. The pathway of coming into the kingdom of God is admitting that you need help. It's crying out to God. If you come to that place in your life where you've seen and admitted and raised the white flag and surrendered to the fact that you can never be good enough to please God, you can never follow enough rules to bridge the gap between heaven and earth, have you reached the joyful, freeing depths of realizing that there is nothing that you can do to earn your salvation before God? It's all of grace. It's all about Him and His grace. Jesus said it this way, unless a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of heaven. Have you been born again admitting that Christ is your life, that the cross is the answer? It's also the pattern for us growing as Christians, from a place of need and hurt, when we're scared, when we don't know what to do, when we don't know how to move on, when we're afraid of repenting and change while tired of living in the hamster wheel of the sin cycle. And we come to the end of our ropes, the end of ourselves, and what do? We cry out to God from the depths and we say, God, help me. And it's in those times that He often grows His children the most. Maybe He's poised through those things that we're so afraid of confessing or admitting or asking help about. Maybe God is poised through those things to work in your life in ways that you never dreamed possible. Cry out, why? Because we need help. Cry out, how? Parents, you know the cries of your children, don't you? You know the voices of your children. Several years ago, we were at a friend's house, and Meg was climbing a tree on the other side of the house. And I don't know how far up she was. I wasn't paying attention. And she fell. She was falling out of the tree, and she didn't fall all the way down because her leg got caught, and she was pinned upside down, hanging in a tree. You know what she said? Dad! And that's when I sprung to action. And I ran over to the tree and I got her out. She didn't have to say, Father, I've gotten myself into a predicament. All she had to say was, Dad! She cried out for help. That's what we see from Psalm 130. We can sense and feel how the psalmist is crying out to God. Out of the depths I cry to you, God. Oh God, hear me. Listen to my voice. Listen to me. I need your help. You can hear the urgency. Be attentive to my cry. You can see the courage and the freedom that he has as he cries out to his father, the boldness. And I think it's fair to say that this cry may have been connected with tears and fears and frustration and sadness and hurt and disappointment and anger and fatigue and despair and confusion. Maybe you felt that way in your life. Maybe you feel that way this morning about the things that you're walking through, the things that you're facing. Psalm 130 teaches us that knowing God gives us the courage to cry out to him. Why? Because we need help. How? With everything that we have, with our whole heart, with our whole being, with our tears and anger and doubt, and with our hopes and joys and faith. Cry out to him. Next thing we see about crying out to God, God knowing him gives us the freedom to cry out to him. Cry out to whom? Why do we cry out? Because we need help. How? With everything that we have. To whom? This isn't a secret. We cry out to God, but Psalm 130 gives us this beautiful interchange and interaction. If you look at your Bible with me, you see two words, Lord. It's easy to miss. Look at verse 1. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Then in verse 2, O Lord, capital L, O, R, D. There are two words in the original. L, O, R, D, capitalized, is the covenant name for God. It's Yahweh. It's a self-existent, almighty, everlasting, needing no one or no thing God. I am who I am, God. And Lord, the other Lord, is Adonai. It's master. It has to do with someone being your leader. And the interchange here, it's throughout the psalm, and it's very important. Essentially, the psalmist is saying, Almighty God, everlasting God, and my Lord, and my master, and my king. It's the same principle from the beginning of Psalm 23. Remember, the Lord, everlasting Almighty God, is my shepherd. God, who has all power, the transcendent, wonderful, everlasting maker of heaven and earth, is my Lord and my master and my shepherd and my friend. You remember the words of Thomas when Jesus revealed himself to him after the resurrection, and he said, my Lord and my God, my Father and my friend. We need to cry out to this God, personal and transcendent, glorious and loving. And we need to pause here for a moment and recognize how easy it is for us to run to all sorts of other people, places, and things to try to find satisfaction and fulfillment. To whom do we go? We go to God Almighty. But it's so easy when things get tough, when we feel despair, when we're in the depths, when we're covered with shame, when we're trapped in the sin cycle. It's so easy for us to try to shade the truth, or try to ignore or numb the pain, or give way to despair, or fume with anger, or blame others, or be consumed with worry, or play the victim, or wallow in our sin, or even question God and his existence. But we know he is the only one who can hold us up and carry us through and save our souls. We cry out to God because we know him. Cry out about what? What are some of the things that we cry out to God about? Look at verses 3 and 4. We get a little more detail. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness that you may be feared. It seems that the psalmist is struggling with his sin. Maybe he's fallen in that old familiar way. Maybe he's fallen and he's done that thing that he thought was a part of way back in his life and that he'd never have to deal with that again. Maybe he's committed that sin that he said to himself, man, I would never, ever do that. No matter where you are in your Christian journey, there are times when you will fall flat on your face. And you'll cry out and need the mercy and grace of God in forgiveness. We need to come back to the cross and remember and celebrate and exult in the fact that God doesn't mark our iniquities. Do you know that God doesn't keep score with His children? He doesn't take a little strip and write down every time that we mess up. He doesn't mark our iniquities. He doesn't keep score. He doesn't hold our sins against us. If He did, we wouldn't have a chance. We couldn't stand before Him. With God, there's hope and grace and forgiveness for our sins. Are there areas in your life where you need to cry out to God for mercy? Where you need to cry out to Him, confessing your sins and repenting toward God to find hope and healing in Him? Knowing God gives us the courage to cry out to Him, the last part of this first point, cry out, so what? I mean, what is the point? What is the end game here? Verse 4 is so powerful. With you there's forgiveness. Why? That you may be feared. You know that fearing the Lord is not a servile fear. It is the loving respect and honor and admiration that is expressed in a relationship that we can have with God. Remember the Old Testament phrase, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Christians are not simply to remain in their sin. We're called to move on, fearing and loving and honoring and respecting the Lord our God. If you're God's child, if you know and love the gospel, and you mostly, primarily think of yourself as a worm, as just a horrible, wretched person, there's part of the gospel message that you're not getting and understanding. We can cry out to God because we know Him. Knowing Him means fearing Him and living by faith and believing His promises and fighting the good fight of faith. Cry out, so what? It's so that we can live in the light of His gospel and be changed and transformed. You see this progression, this cycle. We need help. We cry out. We look to God. We remember what He's done. We ask for forgiveness and He changes us. Knowing Him gives us the courage to cry out. Psalm 130 also teaches us a few more things. Knowing God also gives us the courage to wait. So maybe you've been here before. You cry out. You pour out your heart to God. You plead with Him. You celebrate Him. Now what? Now we wait. Now we wait. And with that same level of passion and trust, with everything that he has, the psalmist not only cries out to God, he waits on God. Not just his body and his mind, his soul waits on God. You see that dynamic again between Lord and Lord. He understands God. My soul waits on Yahweh. My soul waits on my master. And my Lord, how is he waiting? Look at verse 6. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. I've never served in the military. I've never been a sailor. But I can imagine the reasons why that night watchman would want the morning to come so badly. He's waiting so he can see with clarity, with fullness. He spent his night straining his eyes to make sure that there are no intruders or no obstructions, no enemies trying to attack. This is the way the psalmist describes us waiting on God. It's an active thing. It's an act of faith. It takes courage to live this way. It's not just waiting. It's waiting on God. It's not just waiting like at the DMV and you thinking the whole time, how long is this going to take? It's actively putting our faith in God while we wait. It's waiting and trusting. Verse 5 says, in His word I hope. It's holding His word and His promises near and dear to our hearts. It's reminding one another and ourselves of what God has promised. Think about some of the situations where God's people have been called to wait on Him. Abraham, your descendants will be as the stars in the heaven and the sands of the seashore. Trust me and wait. Moses, I'll deliver my people with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Trust me and wait. Joshua, I'll give you and the people the promised land. Trust me and wait. God told His people in the Old Testament that He'd send the promised Messiah. And then He essentially said, trust me and wait. Jesus told His disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and be crucified and on the third day rise again from the dead. And Peter tried to step in and stop that whole nonsense, that talk of Jesus dying. And Jesus essentially said to them, trust me and wait. And after He rose again from the dead, they were scared and they huddled together. And Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses in the whole world. Trust me and wait. Isn't that at the heart of Christianity? Trusting God and waiting on God. What are the areas in your life now where God has called you to wait? Questions about the future. What about this relationship? What's going to happen with the new boss? What if my kids don't get into the school? What if the cancer comes back? What's going to happen with mom or dad? How will I pay for college? What is going to happen in my life? So many times in life, we're called to trust in God and wait. And it doesn't mean that we just sit back. It doesn't mean that we don't move forward and act in faith, but it means we work and we wait on God. Knowing God gives us the courage to wait on Him. The last thing I want us to see this morning from Psalm 130 is that knowing God gives us the courage to speak of Him. You know, if you have a new band that you found or a new friend that you found, or if you're a grandparent, you want to talk about people. You know, grandparents, let me tell you about my grandchildren. I love that bumper sticker, maybe my favorite. If you care about someone or something, you can't help but talk about them. And that's one of the things that we see here. Especially when that knowledge of God has been filtered through crying out to God and waiting on God, then the logical next thing for us to do is to speak of Him. Knowing God gives us the courage to speak of Him. And to whom? First of all, it's to Israel. Verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for the Lord their steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption. First of all, our call to speak of Him is with the brothers and sisters. It is a family discussion. The part of the point of Psalm 130 is to teach us, to remind us, to cry out to God and wait on God, and then to encourage and challenge one another to do the same thing. This is how God has worked in my life. This is how God has worked through these situations. Maybe it can help you in what you're walking through and what you're going through. Dear church, you should put your hope in Him. He loves you. It's a steadfast, always and forever, never giving up love. His grace is greater than all of your sins. His grace is able to cover. It's a plentiful redemption. He's bought us back with His own blood. God has done it. And through our prayers and songs and testimonies and encouragements and text messages, We can encourage one another and speak of Him even when we're struggling, even when we're going through difficult times. This is one of the things I love about team sports. And I didn't realize this until later in my life, but in team sports, if you're down, if you make a mistake, if you blow the coverage, sometimes your teammates pick you up. Your buddy covers for you. They take care of you. And you can say, hey, pick me up. And they can encourage you. And in some way, that's what happens among God's people. We need each other to encourage and challenge and push and love one another. Don't give up. Hope in God. Remember His promises. Trust in Him. He loves you. He's forgiven you. He's with you now and forever. We're also given the courage and the freedom to speak of Him to outsiders. I'm convinced the more we learn how to talk about what God has done and is doing in our lives with one another, the easier telling outsiders about Christ, it will become easier to tell others about Jesus. Whether it's your neighbor that doesn't want anything to do with Christianity, somebody that you know who hasn't gone to church in 20 years, one of the things that can help us, can demystify talking to them about God and His grace, is when we learn how to do it with one another. And we can say simply like this, this is what Jesus has done for me. This is why Jesus Christ is so important to me and how my faith has helped me in my life. I was at the end of my rope. I cried out to Him for mercy and grace and help in time of need. And it doesn't have to come from a situation where it's like where you come to someone like you have all the answers and your life is all together. It's not the situation where you come to someone and say, I've got it all figured out, and let me tell you why your life is all messed up. Part of the beauty of telling people about Jesus is when they ask questions or express doubts, to say, you know what, I've got some of the same questions and some of the same issues in my life, and it's hard for me, even though I know and love God, it's hard for me to cry out to Him at times. But what I've learned, and what I've learned from these other people that go to my church and Christians throughout the world, is that God is faithful. And following and loving Him is worth it. And I haven't found that anywhere else. In terms of evangelism, we can use Psalm 130 as a template to tell other people about Jesus. And it begins by telling them, I cried out to the Lord, and I've had to wait on the Lord, and it's my privilege to speak of Him. I don't know who said this, it's some preacher, philosopher, that we're beggars telling other beggars where we found bread. I think Psalm 130 is an example of that. We can tell other people about Jesus because we can show and express how much we need Jesus. So knowing God gives us that courage to cry out to Him, to wait on Him, to tell others about Him. I guess the closing question is this. It's a simple question. The obvious question is, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Is Christ your Lord and your God? Is the most fundamental and important thing about who you are as a human being the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins? Is that what defines you? Do you know Him? It's so easy to fake it. It's so easy to pretend. But bottom line, heart of hearts, no one else around, is Jesus Christ your life? If not, use Psalm 130 as a pattern to cry out to Him. Do you remember blind Bartimaeus? Blind Bartimaeus was this guy who was sitting on the side of the road. There was a big crowd, and he heard Jesus was coming, and he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And you know what everybody tried to do? touch, man. Stop it. You're making a scene. You know how he responded? He cried out all the more at the top of his lungs with his whole heart, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Who cares what people think? I need help. Cry out to God for grace. Cry out for Jesus. Maybe you've been a Christian a long time, and you've known Him and loved Him for a long time, and maybe you feel like your relationship with God has just grown thin and faint and weak. Here's the thing. We can forget how much we need God. Some people call it spiritual amnesia. And we can think that real life and the good life and the best life is found anywhere and everywhere else besides with Him. And what do? We use Psalm 130 as a template. We cry out to God. Even though we may be ashamed or embarrassed, because we know better, right? But all we can do is cry out to God. Where else are we going to go? We cry out to Him for mercy and forgiveness and for hope and help. Why? It's okay. I know Him. It's okay. I know Him. Let's pray.